perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A fighting in the middle of time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you can see a sweeping wind. Listening to the skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And where else can we start except for the legend of Sammy Lloyd?
Nick, I want to go back to a time 2 years ago when we drafted Sammy Lloyd, a bit less than 2 years ago.
A more innocent time.
Well, a more successful time. the story of him coming out of sort of bush footy and achieving these miracle feats like kicking 100 goals from the midfield, it reminded me of the stories of my favourite college football player, a guy called Johnny Manziel, whose nickname was Johnny Football or Johnny Effing Football, and his exploits in high school Texas football. Now, he went on to be a star in the... The reason he became Johnny Football and that nickname stuck is in the sort of, he wasn't always the most brilliant player, but when the lights were brightest, he just had a touch of magic. It wasn't just that he played well in crunch times, that was something slightly magical about him. It was just felt a bit like 2 years ago, it felt like when we got Sammy Lloyd that he was going to be that kind of player. The kind of player who might not always be grinding it out for the...
Might not be reliable.
Might not be giving you the 55-45 contest all the time, but that he gave a bit of magic. And you know what, Nick? It's taken a little while, but he's delivered on that promise.
Was that the most gun barrel straight shot for goal you've ever seen? Like,
it was a superb shot.
I've watched it a couple of times, and it's got no draw, no fade on it. It is just gun barrel straight. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great kick. And actually, if we're sort of expanding this theme, his goal in the third was a true opportunist third small forwards goal. It was a superb goal. It was a goal where we were struggling to score, and it was exactly the kind of goal we haven't scored in past years. And it was actually, take the moment of the game out, it was actually a far more impressive goal. But yeah, fantastic goal, and... I think it's fair to say he is now on track to have a 40-goal season, and good on him. And the funny thing about him is, like, not only is he playing well for us, but he makes football more entertaining.
I know. And that is an unambiguous good thing in our lives. Look, I want to talk about our other two multiple goal kickers while we're at it. I deeply enjoyed the Daniel Rioli cameo at the start of the last quarter, I think. I mentioned it earlier in the year, but I think that combination of Sammy Lloyd and Rioli has a nice mix of skills and, you know, talent as well.
So there was, I want to talk about Rioli a bit more, but just a broader moment. I wrote it down. When he kicked that first goal, there was 17 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And to me, of round eight, and to me, that was the first time all year we'd played genuinely exciting football. Unless you got excited about a comeback against the Tyrone Carlton in round one, which frankly is a pretty low bar for excitement. But it was get out of your seat, stand up excitement. And he's explosive. He's fast. And I actually sort of noticed, we mentioned this last week as well. Once again, he was in the play a lot and he worries the opposition because he's so fast. Like, you can see defenders are drawn to him. He's a really interesting player. Like,
he's fun. Yeah. He can go whole quarters without touching the football, but hopefully that's something he can learn in time. But yeah, he cracks in and he kicks some really fun goals as well.
He does. And he set shot goal kicking was a weakness in juniors, and with limited sample size, that has continued to his senior career. But
yeah, he was sort of, our aggregate team kicking from set shots was 8 goals, 11, which is, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, and his shots for goal thus far over the whole season haven't been great from a set shot, but he hit the two in general play, and they were two pretty important goals.
They were pretty important goals.
It's interesting. There's three great stories out of this game.
I know. Well, I was just going to say that as exciting as Daniel Rioli running into an open goal was it less exciting than Ben Griffiths running into an open goal?
Well, I have a lot more faith in Daniel Rioli that he'll be able to do consistently, but I quite liked the way you described. Well, speaking of, we were talking off air about how we've just had our most popular tweet ever, we think, but the Ben Griffiths thing about what do you make of a guy who's in his seventh season? Now, admittedly, he's only played 52, 53 games, but thus far, but he's playing 7 years, and it's not like the coaches have starved him for opportunity. They've given him every time he's shown a heartbeat, he's get played the seniors, and suddenly
he's 200 centimeters tall, and he's pretty quick, and he kicks it a mile. Like
So we sort of knew that after two seasons, though. But we've gone through five more seasons of mediocrity, and suddenly he pulls that.
He's a tool shed, and in a good way. And yeah, I mean, I mentioned a little bit. Trying to make sense of Max Gorn, who, you know, seven seasons and 44 games and five different senior coaches, and then finally he turns into a gun player. But, you know, what can you say about big guys? But I'm inclined to revel in the moment for Ben Griffiths. Yeah. What odds would you put it that we have just seen the best game of his career?
Here's the interesting thing about the game. Like, you can kick five goals just getting lucky. And, you know, he got a few umpire decisions
Certainly one of the free kicks was pretty lucky.
And he kicked better for goal than he does normally. So that could just be an outlier. But it was the 20 possessions is sort of interesting. And his intensity and attack on the goal. And he set up. He was crucial late in the game. He was setting up or kicking. So there's sort of... like every rational being in my bone... every rational bone in my body says that this is not sustainable. Like, you don't take the outlier and consider that will be your average from now on. But there's a little bit there, just enough that you can fool yourself that it might be.
I know the work rate at centre half forward, but that's pretty attractive. And I'm certainly enjoying his moments in the ruck more than I'm enjoying the Ty Vickery rucking moments as well. Much to the sadness of 2008 me who and when he was drafted.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of frustrating things about Ty. But let's not. He did get a bad poke to the eye, which if you've only seen the game on live, it probably excuses maybe one of his several bad quarters. But yeah, Griffo, fascinating. The unbelievably thank you, Captain, obvious comment is let's see him back it up.
I know. It's not a bad week to back it up either. You know, with Luke McFarlane moved on, Fremantle have a decidedly average group of key defenders.
So I did want to sort of, you did mention the overall play. Like, I do think, and we should acknowledge this, that after the Collingwood game, we did talk a lot about the randomness of close games, and it is true that close games are random, but it's also true that supporters are allowed to talk about that more when they lose than they win. The other point I note is...
History says you overwhelmingly win games where you have six more scoring shots.
I think the Pies... I don't want to go back to the Pies game. I think they did have more shots in the game.
Six is a big difference. But
it would have been a travesty if we'd lost that game. I mean, how the game was played.
And it still took a random bounce of the ball. It is.
Yeah. Now, we are doing dumb stuff. Like, we let Buddy have too many unchallenged long shots. That's like leaving Steph Curry free at the three-point line. You're asking to get beaten. But it's still... The Swans did hit a lot of hard shots.
I checked and he's at low 60s for his percent on those. So, you know, it was frustrating. We did some dumb things. Two of my favourite random things from the game were, A, the very opening bounce of the game seeing Ransom Grimes back out there, it instantly made me feel better. I just felt a little bit calmer about our defence.
I think it's full credit to Rance. He played a very good game, considering the amount of play. He, you know, obviously he'd be out of touch, and he's coming back from a leg injury. It was a superb return when you consider that.
I liked Grimes' game as well. I'm jealous.
Sorry, I was talking about Grimes.
Oh, Grimes, sorry.
Because Rance, you'd expect... Well, you could almost say it about both of them. But yeah, Rance has only been out for 2 weeks and is not injured.
Whereas, on a suspension, Grimes. Yeah, I really like Grimes' game. I'm jealous of Isaac Keeney.
He's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a gun athlete. But yeah, I just thought our defence looked much more athletic for having the two of them back, I thought. My other favourite random thing for the game was, I'm not sure, I mean, all coaches look anguished in the course of a game, but John Longmire anguished face might be my favourite.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought Menadue had an almost game. His stats are bad.
I know. I like that phrase, an almost game, because he has moments where he almost cracks the game open and just doesn't quite. I think he's worth persevering with. But yeah, it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop him. That was sort of the point I was getting to. But sort of also some of the other people who had strong games. I think now is the point we have to acknowledge that, you know, Miles had 17 contested possessions and kicked a goal.
He's looking much better, I think, than he did the first month of the season.
Indeed.
Shane Edwards as well. Not quite enough to be back on track for yet another Most Improved Player award, but again, playing better than the first month of the season.
AFL ratings gave him as one of the, I think, our best player.
They just love him.
They love him, but what they love is creative midfielders, and so the ratings love Lids as well, who had a superb game.
We haven't got the long striding, long kicking Lids back. We almost, in the first half, it was industrious workmanlike Lids, which was an unusual variation on the usual thing.
So we know his quads 100%. So I'm waiting for the first game he plays where he kicks more than he hand passes. He drew it 50-50 this game, which is the game before he was more hand passer. So if you track the trend line, it's looking good. But yeah, I think it's safe to assume he's not 100%. How did you rate Dusty's game?
Well, the coaches had him as best on ground, I think. Yeah, I enjoyed his work, and it was four quarters of work, which was good. And he led the... He had more pressure acts than anyone on the ground.
A lot of tackles. Interesting game for him. I didn't actually... Watching him live, because he stuffed up a bit with the ball, so I was sort of surprised when he got the coach's votes.
I was mildly surprised. Well, I thought he'd get votes, so I was surprised he was best on ground.
Yeah, I would have given it to one of Miles, Leeds, or Griffiths, probably. Anyway.
I thought at three-quarter time... Ellis, was on his way to a Rising Star nomination, but sadly, he didn't get a touch in the last quarter, so.
Yeah, he stopped, didn't he? Yeah. But I was noticing that too. 16 to the three-quarter time, if it was the old-fashioned sub thing and he had been subbed, which it wouldn't have been, obviously, that would have subbed you, but he would have had a great game. But pity the last quarter let him down a bit. But still, good signs.
He's got a degree of consistency which I'm liking, and I think, the club have said today that he'll fill in with Basher being out for 12 weeks, that he'll fill in that role, which, I think it's probably not a bad thing for his development.
So I'm finding Vossi's move to the midfield frustrating.
Really? I've enjoyed... he's still not cracking the 20 disposal mark, which would make me very happy, but I enjoyed it this week.
So I thought, I think it was mainly early in the fourth that some of his clearance work was very good.
Eight tackles, four clearances. Was
people who not regularly listen to the show know that I really rate his the way he uses the ball. I mean, he's not the best kick in the team, but he's very intelligent user and a hand passer. But yeah, it's the 18. He just needs to somehow find a way to get through for 22-23, and you're starting to talk about a very good player. So yeah, that's why I'm finding it frustrating. It's just, I can see there's a lot of characteristics there. He just needs to do more of it.
I know. I'm enjoying the extra big body in as well. And it does somewhat raise the question about why it hasn't happened before. I don't, finished sixth in the best and fairest last year, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. More, please.
So the final note I just wanted to say about the game, and feel free to add anything else, was for anyone, when you're watching a close game, and anything about modern football, that attacking move where we scored the goal started with 20 seconds left in the game.
I know.
And Lloyd probably burnt off 3 to 4 seconds in as he was going back to take the shot.
Yep.
That's it for me.
I know. How did you feel when Sammy was lining up for goal? I was frankly catatonic, sort of in a state of, I'm not sure how I can react until this happens.
Yeah, I was sort of. Yeah, I mean, I was excited. My sort of probably the more interesting emotion I was having earlier, and I tweeted this, was like, really? Really? Like, I mean, Saturday was a classic. It was a great game. It was back and forth, and we played good football.
And Sydney are a genuinely good team.
The
fourth best team at the moment.
And they were having the breaks going their way, like that. And that was such a good, that performance on a graph compared to all our performances all year. Far an outlier. It's the Ben Griffiths of games. So that was my other reaction. But of course, the Lloyd thing, and it was a wonderful bit of magic. I wasn't at the game, but I'm jealous of everyone who was.
I know. Yeah, the reaction at the end. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I tweeted a video of someone that took in the. I wish I could remember his name. I know he got a lot of tweets. About 70 of them came from us, but he got a lot, hundreds more from other people. And it was just a video of the crowd going nuts as the goal went. Just in Richmond members made my heart proud. Anyway.
Good times.
VFL went well too, amazingly enough.
I know. Well, actually, I wanted to have a chat about, was a bit of a coming out game for Callum Moore as a forward who kicked 4 goals, 3, and earned himself a little highlight reel on the club website. What did you make of his work?
Well, promising. I must admit, I haven't seen the highlight reel, so you'll have to talk about it.
Well, it sort of builds on, he's a really good athlete, good contested mark. The kicking looks fine in the video, but it sort of, he was never being asked to kick under duress, which I think is, he's also not the most reliable kick for goal in his junior days. So I'm still kind of inclined to think of him as a potential key defender going forward. But yeah, it's worth kicking the tires, because that a really athletic third forward who can be a marking target, but also sprint away from the pack when he gets the ball. That's pretty fun too. And what's been consistent about his junior career, but when he's played well in the VFL a couple of times this year, is that he wins quite a lot of football for a guy who's 6'4".
Yeah, he's a really interesting prospect, isn't he? And got so cheaply.
For a rookie pick, like we've gone from famine to feast in terms of our rookie picks the last couple of years.
Well, let's wait and see. But he gives us
look at as a crop, the Castagna, Short, Lambert, Callum Moore, Marvio Choi, Adam Markham. Like, I think that bunch of six guys gives you exactly what you want from a rookie list, a mix of, you know, useful fill-ins, long shots with talent. You know, it's interesting.
It's interesting. I don't. You can't call success until 5-6 years time to see. You know, you need one.
No,
or two
you can't. No, you can't. You can't call it a success now. But in terms of where you'd like them to be, yeah, they're tracking pretty well.
So
my boy McBean kicked 4 goals from 10 disposals.
4-2 actually. Yeah.
Oh, 4-2. Yep. 5 marks inside 50, which is good. Right. Conker made a solid return back. Oleg Markov, only 13 disposals, but kicked a beautiful running goal. I think he started, got the ball at about the wing and had 4 bounces and kicked a goal. I think it was a pretty stunning bit of athleticism.
It was a superb goal. Yeah.
Townsend had 27 disposals and 17 tackles, which is, that's a fair effort.
It is. It's sort of a bit depressing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He does. Like, he was apparently quite effective as a tagger, which is, he needs. That's the way he is viable as a senior footballer. He needs to genuinely be able to shut people down, because he's never going to be a massive ball winner.
Yeah. I mean, like, good. Yeah. There's no point. I'm not going to bag him because I really like him. He's a high effort, tough guy, but,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in his upside potential, but
no, I know. A couple of sadly a downside for me. Ivan Soldo copping a knock to the head and not being able to continue the game, which, you know, sadly comes after Ben Lennon missed this week after having 2 weeks in a row where he copped a knock to the head. So yeah, well, you don't like to see that.
No, and one guy I haven't mentioned. Adam Marcon had quite a good game.
Not a very solid game. Yep.
Not without a chance to get promoted with Hooley injured.
And McIntosh on the long-term injured list as well.
Castagna came back after being one and done in the seniors and had 22 disposals and provided a lot of runoff halfback. So
yeah, very solid game. I was happy to see that.
I would be much happier with him in the team ahead of one of Morris or Hunt, but. You know, it's up to coaching stuff.
I did not mind Morris's game this week. So he's...
Yeah, so like if you have one if you have one in every 10 games... Actually, his game last week was all right. So let's just say one in every 5 games.
Well,
plays at AFL standards.
If I have to choose between the two, this week I would choose Morris. I'm happy for those two to go week by week. I think that's the appropriate amount of confidence.
I don't mind playing one of them. I'm annoyed that Constantia got dropped for the two of them.
He did lose his man a couple of times the week before. I think that's...
What performance... Anyway, we could go on about the earnest running and attempts at the contest, which are completely ineffectual, seemed to have a carrier premium at the... at the selection table. One thing I will say about Morris is that he was tackled several times. The umpires don't like him. They just don't. They didn't like Jakey either. They don't like the unskilled smartasses. But you know who they like even less?
No.
Buddy Franklin.
Oh, that's true. Buddy does do a lot of dumps.
he does. But
he's a really tall guy, so he's going to be a bit prone to high contact. But yeah.
Umpires' favourites don't get those free kicks called against them when they're tackling Stephen Morris, which is not right, by the way. But I was just thinking, yeah, that was good. That was high, and they got paid, which is, you know, Stevie Morris doesn't get a lot of free kicks. So anyway,
Look, a guy who didn't play in the VFL because he was 23rd man for the seniors, and I think there was a bit of whispers of a potential late out, but. Which didn't happen, so he didn't play this week. But Dan Butler had a good game last week and came close to making a senior debut, which would have been our third different debut for a forward pocket in 2 months.
So not without a chance this week with Rioli
Rioli under a bit of a cloud. Yeah, you'd think he'd be an obvious candidate to come in.
So it's been officially announced he's taking bit of leave for family reasons. Also sort of heard to, and actually the coaching staff talked about this. He's getting knocked around. He's got a little body and he will need a rest.
And AFL senior football is really hard work.
And this week would be the perfect round to West Ham, because what's the week after?
Oh, I haven't even looked at the week after.
Dreamtime at the G.
Ooh, yeah.
Good point. you don't want to rest him for Dreamtime at the G. No. Anyway, Fremantle.
Look, before we get on to Freo, though, it does feel like the off-season gossip is in pretty high intensity, given it's the middle of May. And the SEN had the rumour of our chasing Michael Hurley with a 5-year, $4.5 million deal. What did you make of that?
Well, my first thought was, if we sign Hurley, we can't get compensation if we lose Ty.
So which is a somewhat backwards way of doing it. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sort of... I like Hurley.
To get a little bit administrative on you, Ty's only a restricted free agent, so we could match any deal and force the team that had made the offer to trade for him.
Yeah, but we'd probably get more from him as a... Anyway.
We wouldn't get as much as we would otherwise, but we could still, you could still get something decent for him.
But on Hurley, he's an interesting player. Like, I presume we'd play him back in a chaplain role?
Yeah, and in a super chaplain role.
a rich man's chaplain role, a very rich man's chaplain role. But yeah, that's to me structurally where he makes it. Like, he doesn't really make... He plays his best footy back, and he doesn't really make
it. It'd be nice to have a key back who you could throw forward in a desperate move who would be competent as a key forward. But I think Rance and Hurley would be, two of the best three key defenders in the league playing together, which would be fun.
Yeah, I think they're quite complementary skills. It would be fun. I would prefer, in a perfect world, I'd prefer someone of Hurley's ability as a midfielder coming into our team. But we do have to replace Chapman, and Asprey's not getting it done. So.
And there is no free agent midfielders of any quality available. So.
No, that's right. Mm. That's right. Mm. Yeah, so good rumour anyway. I want to keep an eye.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun. So Fremantle this week, and looking at a club that's had a pretty tough 2016, it's them. Their once formidable defence is hemorrhaging goals. Fremantle have always been a club that's been able to clog up the game, force the other team wide, make them take bad shots for goal. All that's kind of out the window. They have mentioned they don't have Luke McFarlane anymore, and now the Pavlic and Sandilands both out of the team last week, so it is
Hill's very injured.
It's a Fife's injured, so they've still got a decent midfield. Lockie Neal's having a monster season, and is himself the subject of media speculation about his future. David Mundy's very big-bodied, very capable midfielder.
So Killed us last time.
Both Pierces. There's still... Michael Walters. There's still some talent on this team. It is noticeable their key forwards and key defenders are, frankly, probably the worst group in the AFL right now.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting game. It's two teams.
Betting line is almost even.
Yeah, they're mild favourites, but you're exactly right. Yeah, it is. It's almost a coin toss. The thing I'm excited about that last week gave me is that someone played well that I didn't expect it. Griffo gave me something that was exciting. Sammy Lloyd, he's sort of more exciting from an entertainment perspective, and Rioli obviously. But Ellis showed, as you pointed out, for three quarters looked really looked pretty good. There's a bit more sort of potential for upside excitement in this game. So that's why I'm thinking about the game. I mean, I'm sort of more excited to watch this game. That's what last week gave me. It gave me a bit of excitement to watch footy because I really haven't had that since
Well, I was just going to say, it's been a season that has not had all that much joy.
No, I mean, I remember being halfway through the second quarter of the Collingwood game thinking, oh, this is terrible football. And we've had plenty of that. But the Sydney game was... The team was getting booed halfway through the third quarter for chipping around too much. It all came well when we won. But yeah, I'm a lot more excited about this game than I have been for a while.
No, and I think fans have really enjoyed the sense of the team having a red hot go, like it was only for effectively three quarters against Hawthorn. That was an extremely exciting last quarter against Sydney, and I'm hoping. My personal theory is that kicking for goal is one of those things that varies on a week for week basis. So hopefully we're due to kick a bit better than we have been, because that's certainly been really frustrating. So yeah,
we've had unfortunately our good goal kicking games have been at times when we've been getting flogged.
We've been getting flogged all around the ground. Yeah, so I think, you know, if we can get Cochin back, you know, Dusty, Miles, Lids all playing well, you know, we can stand up. There's no reason why we can't have a really good effort.
Well, absolutely. I mean, realistically, we probably should win. But, I'm looking forward to it anyway.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.